Hello everyone. We hope that you're all keeping well. Helen and I are sharing with you our thoughts on the next of the I Am statements. The saying of Jesus that we're exploring today is, I am the resurrection and the life. This is the bedrock of our faith. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:17, if Christ wasn't raised, then all we're doing is wandering about in the dark, as lost as ever. We find Jesus' statement in John chapter 11, couched in the account of the death of Lazarus. I shall read some of that passage now, beginning at verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. Verse 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. If we read on to verse 44, we discover that Jesus went to Lazarus's tomb and called him to come out. Lazarus did so, restored to life. He lived and breathed again. This would have brought incredible joy to Martha and Mary, but it was a respite. We don't know how many years Lazarus lived on, but he lived to die another day. Surely Jesus' words, I am the resurrection and the life, spoke of something greater, something fuller than what happened on that momentous day. You will remember that immediately before Jesus made his great statement, I am the resurrection and the life, Martha said, I know that Lazarus will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. So how might we understand some of the greater fullness of what Jesus proclaimed? After Jesus' death, we know that he appeared to his disciples in many places and contexts. But things are very different. He was not immediately recognized by Mary in the garden on that first Easter morning, or by those with whom he walked to Emmaus later that day. He appeared to the disciples in a room with locked doors. This happened again a week later, when Thomas was also present, having previously expressed his doubts that Jesus had returned. When Jesus appeared to the disciples by the Sea of Galilee and shared a meal of fish with them, which he had prepared, again they didn't immediately recognize him. Jesus after the resurrection was not the same as Jesus before his death. Unlike Lazarus, he had not returned to life to die another day.
For the past 100 days, I have experienced resurrection and life in quite an amazing and unexpected way. At the beginning of lockdown, I decided to cycle every day a set route, a circular route. The route was 7 miles. When I started, I had no idea how my life and thinking would be affected by this daily journey. In the early days, many of the fields were brown, not yet ploughed. Leaves were beginning to show on the trees, but faintly. Spring flowers were starting to make themselves seen through the grass on the verges and in the hedgerows. But day by day, the scene changed. The tractors were out ploughing the fields, preparing for sowing seeds of cereals, sugar beet, peas, and planting potatoes. At first nothing appeared to change. Then one day, I notice the soil appear light green on the surface. Each day the colour becoming stronger and stronger, the plants growing until there was no brown earth left to see. Changes continued until the ears of corn appeared on the wheat and the heads of the barley began to turn yellow. Every day I couldn't wait to get on my bike to see the changes. I became excited about what I would see. On the verges, a mass of bluebells greeted me in all their beauty, and as they faded, I noticed red campion, bright yellow buttercups, delicate cow parsley, daisies, and scarlet poppies. The whole scene became a huge technicolour image of hope, life, and resurrection. Nature is constantly renewed and resurrected from often what appears to be nothing. And because I repeated the same journey day after day, through the same landscape, I witnessed it in a powerful way. The message that shouted at me was, hope never dies, it is always reborn. COVID-19 does not have the last word. Resurrection will come. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The words, I am, take us back to Exodus 3, when Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? And what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. You say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. The name that expressed his character as a dependable and faithful God. Earlier in the chapter, the same Hebrew word for I am is translated, I will be. Present and future, the God for all time, Christ Jesus for all time. Resurrection speaks of hope and joy, but in order for resurrection to occur, something dies, or is lost, or destroyed. In the natural world, spring comes after winter. Winter is always depicted as a place of coldness, darkness, and loss. In our lives, it can be a place of deep pain. Losing someone we love very much, as in the case of Mary and Martha, the breakdown of a treasured relationship, the death of a dream, the questioning of all we value. These situations we have to live through, and we grieve. Mary and Martha grieved. Jesus came and wept with them. He weeps with us in our sadnesses as we wait and look for healing, restoration, renewal, forgiveness, love, compassion, warmth, hope, a new dawn. All parts of the many faceted diamond we call resurrection. In his book Reenchanting Christianity, Dave Tomlinson speaks of the disciples' lives, as they knew and understood them, as being shattered at the cross. It was a moment of disenchantment. When Jesus died, hope died, a vision died, everything they believed in died. It is not only the death of a person they loved, but the death of a dream. The resurrection, however, signaled something new. Things would never go back to the way they were. They would never have Jesus living among them as they once did. He reappeared, but not in the same familiar form, as Richard mentioned. The Jesus of Nazareth they knew was gone. They couldn't turn the clock back to how things were. Yet out of this apparent loss and failure came a new life, better and stronger than before. It meant being seized by the life-giving Spirit and experiencing, as it says in Hebrews 6, the powers of the world to come in their living and dying. It is the same for us. Life is one of the great concepts of John's Gospel. The word is found 36 times in John, while no other New Testament book uses it more than 17 times. Life is Christ's gift. He is, in fact, the life. Life that is indestructible. Or is it? In the 1970s, Oscar Romero was a safe appointment as Archbishop in El Salvador. He was a conservative and religious man, unlikely to align himself with the poor in a country on the brink of civil unrest and political turbulence. But the murder of a Jesuit priest and the army opening fire on a peaceful protest gathering soon made him take sides and become identified with the oppressed. He urged the priests to shelter anyone in terror of their lives. He moved out of his palace and lodged at a cancer hospital for the poor. He began his sermons by reading the names of the murdered and the missing. He condemned the use of violence in pursuit either of justice or self-interest. He spoke out against the institutional violence of economic oppression. For 3 years he was a voice for the voiceless, and then he was shot while saying Mass. The Gospel of the day read, "If a seed of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it will bear much fruit." A newspaper released a message he had already prepared for this eventuality. "I have often been threatened with death, but as a Christian I do not believe in death without resurrection. If they kill me, I shall rise again in the Salvadorian people, a witness of hope in the future." Oscar Romero lived and died believing, as a follower of Christ, that all life matters, a beacon of light for us in our time. Our faith is built on the resurrection and life of Christ. We recognize that Christ is indeed alive in the world today. He lives in you and me. He lives in people. He lives in bread and wine, in kindness, in compassion, in justice, in laughter, in friendship, in goodness. Wherever God's kingdom of life, hope, and liberation is manifest, Christ is risen. I'd like to finish by reading two verses of a poem that travelled with me on my 100-day cycling adventure. It is called "Because He Is Risen," and it's written by Gerard Kelly, and I was first introduced to it in 2005. It came to my mind again as Richard and I were preparing for an Easter service that didn't happen. The poem makes me sing and cry, all at the same time. Because he is risen, spring is possible in all the cold, hard places gripped by winter, and freedom jumps a queue to take fear's place. And my future is an epic novel where once it was a mere short story. Because he is risen. And because he is risen, a fire burns in my bones, and my eyes see possibilities, and my heart hears hope like a whisper on the wind. And the song that rises in me will not be silenced as life disrupts this shadowed place of death, like a butterfly under the skin, and death itself runs terrified to hide, because he is risen.
And to finish, we have a blessing. Go in hope and faith into the next days, and may God recreate our future. Christ Jesus leap free in risen life among us, and the Spirit heal and comfort us all, in body, mind, heart and soul. Amen.